The congregation is invited to stand for the invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
I will go to the altar of God.
To God, my exceeding joy.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
The congregation may be seated. During this Lenten season, we have heard our Lord's call to intensify our struggle against sin, death, and the devil, all that prevents us from trusting in God and loving each other. Since it is our intention to receive the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ on this night, when he instituted this blessed meal for our salvation, it is proper that we complete our Lenten discipline by diligently examining ourselves, as St. Paul urges us to do. This holy sacrament has been instituted for the special comfort of those who are troubled because of their sins, humbly confess them, and hunger and thirst righteousness. But when we examine our hearts and consciences, we find nothing in us but sin and death from which we are incapable of delivering ourselves. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ has had mercy on us. For our benefit, he became man so that he might fulfill for us the whole will and law of God, and to deliver us, took upon himself our sinful nature and the punishment we deserve. So that we may more confidently believe this and be strengthened in the faith and in holy living, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you." It is as if he said, "I became man, and all that I do and suffer is for your good. As a pledge of this, I give you my body to eat." In the same way also, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Again, it is as if he said, "I have had mercy on you by taking upon myself all your iniquities. I give myself into death, shedding my blood to obtain grace and forgiveness of sins, and to comfort and establish the New Testament, which gives forgiveness and everlasting salvation. As a pledge of this, I give you my blood to drink." Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup, confidently believing this word and promise of Christ, dwells in Christ and Christ in him, and has eternal life. We should also do this in remembrance of him, showing his death, that he was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Giving him our most heartfelt thanks, we take up our cross and follow him, and according to his commandment, love one another as he has loved us. As our Lord in this night exemplified this love by washing his disciples' feet, so we, by our words and actions, serve one another in love. For we are all one bread and one body, even as we are all partakers of this one bread and drink from the one cup. For just as the one cup is filled with wine of many grapes, and the one bread is made from countless grains, so also we, being many, are one body in Christ. Because of him we love one another, not only in word, but in deed and in truth. May the Almighty and merciful God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, accomplish this in us.
Amen.
Having heard the word of God, let us confess our sins, imploring God our Father for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Invited to stand for the confession. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner,
confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Go in peace.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray.
O Lord, in this wondrous sacrament, you have left us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Congregation may be seated. We sing the first hymn, 444.
Tramp us soldiers marching feet with banners and with drums. No sound of music's martial beat, the King of Glory comes to greet. What pomp of kingly pride! No the children cheer with palms, his path is strewn. With every step the cross draws near the King of Glory's throne. Astride a colt he passes by, as loud hosannas ring, or else the very stones would cry, "Behold, behold your King." What fading flowers his road adorn, the palms how soon laid down. To the mob replies, "Behold, behold your King." Now he who bore for mortals' sake the cross and all its pains, and chose a servant's form to take, the
The Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning at verse 31. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
The New Testament reading is from Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 15. The Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, This is a covenant that I will make with them, after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. For where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from all evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. The choir is invited to come forward. This gospel reading takes place after Jesus instituted his supper and after he taught them, and they are preparing to go to the garden for Jesus to pray and then be arrested and betrayed, arrested, and put on trial. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is the greater, one who reclines at table, or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as the one who serves. You are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me. And he said to them, When I sent you out with no money bag or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything? They said, Nothing. He said to them, But now let the one who has a money bag take it, and likewise a knapsack. And the one who has no sword, sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors. For what was written about me has its fulfillment. And they said, Look, Lord, here are two swords. And he said, It is enough. And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, Pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. While he was still speaking, there came a crowd. The man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? When those who were around him saw what would follow, they said, Lord, shall we strike with a sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, No more of this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple and elders who had come out against him, Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me, but this is your hour in the power of darkness. Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house, and Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, This man also was with him. But he denied it, saying, Woman, I do not know him. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, You also are one of them. But Peter said, Man, I am not. And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, Certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean. But Peter said, Man, I do not know what you are talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him as they beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him, Prophesy, who is it that struck you? And they said many other things against him, blaspheming him. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people gathered together, both chief priests and scribes. And they led him away to their council, and they said, If you are the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God. So they all said, Are you the Son of God then? And he said to them, You say that I am. Then they said, What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips. The congregation may be seated. We sing the hymn number 438.
Spotless life to offer, he bears the stripes.
This evening's sermon, we will meditate on several of the verses from the gospel reading. I begin with rereading a portion of verse 27 from Luke 22. But I am among you as the one who serves. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our salvation. Amen. We have been thinking about Jesus as the Lamb of God, which Scripture teaches over and over again. both in prophecies and then also the New Testament showing how he has fulfilled them. And up to this point, we have been reflecting on Old Testament passages of talking about God's sacrifices system that he gave to the Israelites. We spent time in Isaiah chapters 52 and 53. And this evening and tomorrow, we hear the narrative of Jesus doing it, fulfilling these promises of God, these prophecies. And what we see in this text, from this narrative in Luke and the other gospel narratives as well, is that Jesus willed to be the Savior. His will was aligned up with his Father's will. And we'll think about that a little bit tonight. This, of course, was different than sinful humans who always say, "My will be done." And so, thus, the disciples that night were arguing who was going to be in charge, who was the greatest. And Jesus said, "You're thinking all wrong." Yes, the Gentiles, those who are not God's people, they think like this. The world thinks like this. But he said, "Not so with you." And he points out that among you, the one who leads is a servant. And then he says a statement there in verse 27 that is remarkable for how much teaching and promise it packs into a simple sentence. He said in verse 27, "But I am among you as the one who serves." That "I am" statement lines up with other places where Jesus says, "I am," calling himself God's name. He is God. When Moses said at the burning bush, "Who should I tell the people has sent me?" God said, "Tell them that I am has sent you." And so we know this is the name of God. And several times, especially in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "I am the door. I am the light. I am the good shepherd." And he was linking himself and calling himself that name, "I am," and here too. "But I am," and then he says, "among you." That is, God is among his people, among his disciples. He's not far away from them, he's with them. "But I am among you as the one who serves." And right here, this outlines everything he's going to do. He's doing all this to serve God's people, to bring salvation. Jesus is worried about Peter, for Peter is thinking he is strong enough. He can withstand and defend Jesus or say the truth about Jesus. But Jesus is worried about Peter and says, "Peter, I've prayed for you that Satan may not sift you like wheat, that you actually may endure and be saved. I've prayed for you. When you repent, when you turn again, strengthen your brothers." No, Jesus, I'm ready to go to jail for you. I'm ready to die for you." "No, you will deny 3 times before the rooster crows." With that, we see that Peter may have said and thought he was ready to die for Jesus. But the fact is, that's not what was necessary. What was necessary was that Jesus would die for Peter. He would serve Peter. Jesus was always looking to fulfill the scriptures. He said to his disciples, "For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me, and he was numbered with the transgressors, for what is written about me has its fulfillment." And they said to him, "Look, Lord, here are 2 swords. And he said to them, "It is enough." We noted this 2 weeks ago, that Jesus frequently referred to the prophecies in Isaiah and said, they refer to me, I'm going to fulfill them. And he says that here too. And interestingly, this one is partially fulfilled by them having two swords. What we see in this narrative is that they ask later on, when he's being arrested, should we strike with a sword? But think of it. God's will was for him to be arrested. But the prophecy was that they would be with the transgressors, with those who sinned and have iniquities. And that self-serving defense, not doing God's will in this case, but against God's will, against the prophecy, was to be with the transgressors. And again, Jesus was with the transgressors. Not only his weak and denying and afraid disciples, but later on, among the soldiers and among Pilate and Herod, who thought little of him, who thought Jesus is a transgressor, not me, but Jesus is counted among them, and then he's nailed next to two thieves. Everything he did was to serve and to fulfill God's word and the promises. Jesus, as a servant of the Lord, as a Lamb of God, knew what his calling was to be and to do. He was to die on the cross. That's what John said. When Jesus first started his ministry early on, 3 years before this, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That is going to have to be done by a sacrifice death. And all during those 3 years of his ministry, Jesus took that upon him. And in the garden then, he prays, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." Whatever this costs, whatever it takes, he would align with the Father's will. This was God's work to save people. In Peter's denial of Jesus, there's something going on that we should take note very carefully. Jesus, in the beginning of this reading and other places, called himself I Am. He is the Lord. And so when Peter denied Jesus, knowing I don't know him, I don't know nothing about him, and in the Gospel of Mark, it very clearly says at this point, Peter calls down curses and swears. He cursed and swore that he did not know the Lord. He does not know I am. Let's just clear out sin against the first commandment. He blasphemed Jesus. I don't know him. He has done nothing for me. He is nothing. Against the great I am. And we see then that this betrayal and denial of by Peter, betrayal by Judas and denial by Peter, is not like one human betraying another or denying another, but it is a human saying, "God, you are nothing to me." It is a great sin. As Jesus is mocked, they're mocking him and they beat him, they blindfold him and prophesy, "Who struck you?" Verse 65, it says, "And they said many other things against him, blaspheming him." Luke says you can only blaspheme God. And God, Luke is saying this is God, and look what they were doing to God, the Son of God. They were blaspheming him. But he did this willingly. He did not stop them. In front of the assembly of the elders at the end of this reading, they ask Jesus, "If you are the Christ, tell us." And Jesus knows their heart and their attitude. He knows what they're thinking. He knows their approach because he has done miracles right in front of them for 3 years. And they didn't believe. He had just raised Lazarus from the dead, and they wanted to kill Lazarus as well as him. And he says to them, if I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you what you've seen, who would do this, you will not answer me. They are hardened and set in their ways. But Jesus says, but from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. Jesus knows that going through this rejection and suffering is not defeat, but is to follow the will of God. And following the will of God is never defeat. Following the will of God is to be in God's path and way, and as the Lamb of God, to bring salvation. To be on the cross, as he said, is to be lifted up and to be exalted. They asked him then, so are you the Son of God then? And he said to them, you say that I am. And again, I am is spoken by Jesus. You're even saying, I am. Jesus' will to carry out the Father's plan of salvation, founded and known by God before the foundation of the world, should make it perfectly clear to we Christians who look to Jesus that there is nothing that stops Jesus from forgiving sins and from giving salvation to his people. All this along the way that we read in this narrative from Luke and in the other Gospels tried to stop Jesus from the pain and torture, from the being abandoned by his disciples, from being mocked by the chief priests, by Herod, and being on the cross, all tried to stop Jesus. But what did Jesus say? What was he aiming to do on the cross? Remember the first word from the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. His goal was to even forgive those who betrayed him, denied him, mocked him, tortured him. To forgive. And so in our own lives, and as we think about his suffering and death tonight and tomorrow, it is God's will that the Lamb would die, and the Lamb did it willingly, and nothing can stop God from saving. And he calls us to look to him and to listen to him. The salvation Jesus gives, the victory that Jesus gives, is so different than what the world can do on its own power, so different than what you or I might do by our own thinking or power. And it's really good for us every year to go through these narratives in Holy Week and to think about what Jesus has done for us, because he does it and he has done it. And we can count and depend upon him. He has gone to the cross willingly because he loved you and me and wants to save us. He prayed for Peter that he would not be sifted like wheat. So also Hebrews says he intercedes for us. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for wanting to save us, willing to go through the suffering and death. Help us to have faith in you. Help us to draw forgiveness, receive your forgiveness, and also live in it. Bless our times this evening and the rest of this Holy Week. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The congregation is invited to stand. We follow the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. On the tree of the cross, you gave salvation to mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might arise in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 holy Lord.
God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
We pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
Grant us peace.
The congregation may be seated. I will prepare with washing my hands while you're singing this hymn, and after the communion assistants receive it, we'll do the continuous line in the normal way. Welcome to the table of the Lord.
Save your
dear. The true body of Christ, which is given for you.
Now hear me while I pray.
Take and drink the true blood of Jesus Christ,
away.
Shed for the forgiveness of your sins.
Let me from this
now may this true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace.
May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me,
body of Christ, which is given for you.
When death's cold sullen stream shall o'er me roll.
Now may this true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting.
Fear and distrust remove. Rise afresh each morn.
take, eat the body of Christ.
Have turned my stony heart into a heart new. To joy and exaltation, and clearly shone the way that leads me to salvation. My sins are washed away, for this I thank you, Lord. Now with my heart and soul,
receive the post-communion blessing. Now may this true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Blessed be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
The congregation may be seated. At this time, while we're singing the hymn 439, O dearest Jesus, what law hast thou broken? The altar, the paraments will be taken back, the candles, the communion ware, and so forth, so that it leaves the bare altar as we've done before, preparing for Good Friday. There are 15 verses to this hymn, so there's plenty of verses to sing while we're doing this. And when we are done, I will turn off some of the lights up front so that the organist can see that we're done. And whatever verse you're on at that time, she'll stop playing at that verse. And then, as it says, we quietly go to our homes tonight.
Jesus, what law hast thou broken that such a sharp sentence should on thee be spoken? Of what great crime hast thou to make confession? Dark transgression. They crown thy head with thorns, they smite, they scourge thee with cruel mockings, to the cross they urge thee. They give thee gall to drink.
must die in sadness. The sinful child of man may live in gladness. Man forfeited his life and is acquitted. God is called. Trying while thou wert a child.